Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, big event that will have already happened by the time this airs, but you have a trip to Amarillo in your future.
Yes, this time next week, we will have concluded our three-day venture into Amarillo, our Lincoln Day / Silver Elephant. It's our celebration, but also our planning day. But we just decided that we're going to give people a weekend out, away from the restrictions and away from the tyranny here in New Mexico. Come to the freedoms in Texas, and we have a great event. Great speakers. Christy Noem will have spoken on Friday night, then Jim Jordan on Saturday night. But we've got a filmmaker from Austin, Texas, also a high-tech guy who is talking to us at noon on Saturday. And he has developed the replacement for the Zoom technology, the people. And we're the first in the nation to get to use that. I just met him by happenstance through the Republican National Committee. And he and I have become pretty good friends. I've been down to Austin to look at his product. He's looked at things we're doing, and he just offered for us to use his technology. And so we're embracing that, and it's going to be 10 times better than Zoom. And so this time next year, I suspect that people who previously were trying to film and trying to edit and trying to do things, they're going to be using the platform called Reach, R-E-A-C-H, Reach. It's designed for all sorts of applications, but the main thing is that when you create something, you create your own channel. You don't have to go on YouTube. Mm. If you go on YouTube, they own your product. They have the rights to your product. You no longer own it. And so in this platform, you're going to own your own product. You're going to create it. Our people who have been using it so far are saying it is fabulous. And so he's speaking to us at noon. So we've got a power-packed agenda. We're going to be talking about the future of the Republican Party and how we're going to make New Mexico a better place to live through positive change. And so we're excited about that whole event.
Now, let me ask you, some stations run our program on Saturday morning. If somebody's hearing us right now and says, hey, I want to go, can they still come on Saturday?
They can only get seating-only tickets. In other words, we've already had to commit to the number of meals. It's a great weekend to get away. I've got steak one night and then prime rib the next night. It's the top-of-the-line menu. We just wanted people to feel like that life was back to normal.
Sure.
And they experienced that.
All right. I see most of the state now is turquoise. I guess they started counting the people who have been vaccinated. So all of a sudden, the science changed now, and the state, except for one county, is turquoise. We have one yellow one and one green one, and the rest is turquoise. Here in the Albuquerque Rio Rancho area, we're turquoise, and the movie theaters are starting to open again.
Yeah, that's probably one of the worst things that she did, is keep them closed when you could easily social distance in a theater. Right now, they sell tickets by the seat, and so you could just limit the tickets so that people got the 6-foot spacing. It never made sense to keep them closed. I think she did it out of political animus to the movie theaters. One of the big theater chains in New Mexico is locally owned and is Republican locally owned, and so it looks like that they were the target for her, and she's just vicious when it comes down to it. The governor has a lot of anger, I think, that she's playing out on the people.
That's unfortunate. It shouldn't work that way, but there is an election next year, so maybe there's an opportunity under our system in the United States to make a change.
There is. I will tell you that this election coming up in CD1 is going to be really a test case. How frustrated are you with the way that this governor has handled the state? That's going to be the key question. Already, Democrats are extremely frustrated with the way that Joe Biden is serving as president. 55% of Democrats nationwide have said they're not going to vote for a Democrat next time because of just the border issue. The government is letting people come across. I think it was Senator Langford out of Oklahoma who was at the border showing the films last week, and it was showing the 16 or 18, 20 people at a time on the Mexico side. The buses provided by the Customs and Border Patrol were sitting there waiting on the U.S. side. So the people came through the fence illegally, climbed onto a bus, and then they're carried to somewhere. They're out processed with no record of having been here, so they don't have to have a court date. They're not tested for COVID, and the estimates are that at least 50% are infected with COVID. They're being sent, sometimes flown out across the U.S. and put into different communities without that community's approval. And then the communities bear the burden of testing for COVID and then providing the health care if it's needed. They're not checked to see if they have a criminal record. And so it's all in all very, very disappointing to the Democrats. And they're saying they're not going to vote Democrat this time because of that one issue. But also the issue of wokeness is really causing distress among the faithful for the Democrat Party. This idea that you're going to cancel people out who disagree with you. All of those things are causing tremendous alarm throughout the country, and elections are the way that political figures experience consequences for their policies and their actions. So I think that we're going to see a huge turnaround in the House of Representatives. I think the Republicans will take the U.S. House. I think we'll take the U.S. Senate. And I think here in New Mexico, we're going to find Republican gains through the House, the Senate, and I think we'll win the governor's chair, whoever runs in that race for the Republicans.
I saw where our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, invited the mayor of Washington, D.C. to join the Democrat Governors Association, insinuating that she is actually a governor of a state of Washington, D.C., which was what the Democrats wanted to do, to add two more Democrat senators and one more Democrat in the House. Why would our governor, with all the things we have going on, decide she needs to do that?
It's called agenda politics. She's trying to support that national agenda, play for a bigger office, maybe get an appointment into the administration. She missed out on that the first run,
right?
But I would think she's still holding out hope for that. The problems that are headed to New Mexico downstream are going to take tremendous leadership from the governor's office to begin to solve the many things that have been put into place by this governor. The economic damage that's been done from the governor's office, the economic damage done by the Biden administration, the taxes that are absolutely going to be coming both to New Mexico, nationally. The Democrats are talking about doing away with the Trump tax cut. That's going to be about a $2,500 a year tax increase for the average New Mexican family. Many people were experiencing easier lifestyles because of the extra $200 or $300 a month that the Trump tax cut gave them. The middle class is going to be hurt by these policies that are coming out of the Biden administration.
I found this kind of amusing. President Biden, in a speech on May 3rd, said if you make under $400,000 a year, you won't have to pay any taxes.
The reason I'm bothering to do this is I keep hearing on the press, Biden's going to raise your taxes. Anybody making less than $400,000 a year will not pay a single penny in taxes.
Ah, if it were only true. That's our president, Steve.
Well, Derek, we're just about out of time in this segment here. I invite all our listeners to stay tuned for the next segment. We're going to be talking about why it's essential for the nation to have Republicans, Republican governors, Republican presidents, Republican control of the House and the Senate. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about that in segment two.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. And Steve, it's an interesting point. And in New Mexico, we seem to be, at the moment, as far as registration goes, a minority party. But that may change. But why is it important? We have a two-party system. Why is it important to have Republicans?
Well, first of all, one-party system, that's Venezuela. If you want what Venezuela's got, just keep trying to cancel out all Republicans and all the conservatives. But there are more vivid examples of why we need Republicans. Take a look at Governor DeSantis in Florida. He just this last week announced that there's going to be a work requirement for you to get your welfare payments, for you to get unemployment. The news coming out of Florida is that people can't find enough workers. And so I hear that you see restaurants all the time saying, please excuse us, we're working as fast as we can, we can't find workers. And yet all these people are on unemployment. And so the governor is simply saying, if you're able-bodied, and you can work and there are jobs available, then you are going to work. We're not going to pay you to stay home when there are jobs out there for you. So he signed that. Another reason that you should be looking at why we need Republicans is that Governor DeSantis was one of the first to sign a bill that bans men playing in women's sports. It's to protect the women, to protect the girls. We've talked on this program many times about that concept that in one of the Northeast states, something like 25 of the state championships in the last 2 years have been won by two men who are out competing as women. And so they have a physiological edge that can't be overcome. And so governors now are being called to sign these kinds of laws. Governor Reeves out of Mississippi has recently signed a similar law. Governor Reynolds out of Iowa, both Republicans, have signed those laws. And so you see these continuing reasons why we desperately need Republicans right now, because the Democrats have gone off on angles and tangents that are not going to be long-term productive for society, but especially in this case, not going to be productive for women. Women have worked years to get equality in sports, and now then their opportunities for scholarships, their opportunities for higher education through scholarships are going to be denied to the men who just want to compete in the women's side rather than in the men's side. Another significant move made by a Republican governor was Governor Kristi Noem became the first one to pledge that she is going to institute what she calls the Patriotic Education Pledge. That is that they're going to teach subjects that tell about the goodness of America. Yeah, we'll talk about the faults of America. That's something that has been a part of our historical reviews and our teaching in our history classes. And so we'll teach that. But it's in response to the critical race theory that says that all the institutions, the laws, and the legal system are simply racist, and their intent is to keep one race down.
If that's true, Chairman, then why, as we talked about in the last segment, are all these people coming over the southern border to be here if we're a racist, terrible country?
Yeah, people vote with their feet to say that we don't see that racism. And people are coming from Africa every day. If it's this racist country, then you wouldn't find that happening. People don't immigrate to Cuba.
No.
And so they don't immigrate to Venezuela.
They risk their lives to get out of Cuba.
Yeah, they're risking their lives, their fortunes, and everything to get out. And so never in our history have we seen a more potent reason than right now to why we need Republicans. And I say never, but that's not true. It was Republicans who freed the slaves. It was Republican Abraham Lincoln who fought the Civil War to free the slaves and to keep the Union together. And so we've had the Republican Party since its formation, since it was just brand new in the 1860s. It has been the party of freedom, the party of liberty, and the party that works to try to even out the opportunities. We don't even out the outcomes. That's up to the individual, but we equalize the opportunities. And so this idea that our nation is evil, that the past is evil, that everyone who works in the police department is evil, those things are very counterproductive for us to be teaching in our schools. The 1619 Project is one that people are going to have to stand up and say, no, you're not going to teach that in our schools in this town. And so part of what we discussed in Amarillo was for individuals to get out and get active in their communities, get active in education if that's their passion, get active running for office if that's their passion, but do something, because we're going to have to take this nation back. And to do it, we're going to have to do it one county at a time. To make New Mexico a better place, we're going to have to improve it one county at a time, one community at a time, one life at a time. When we begin to look at it in that fashion, then we start to put together things which will make sense to the voters, and they'll start voting Republican. We're not going to win the state through TV ads. We're not going to win the state through these social media campaigns. We're going to win the state by neighbors seeing other neighbors who are conservatives starting to do things that make sense to them in their communities, and then they'll vote for them. We've actually got a couple of really good examples of that. Over in Hidalgo County, a traditionally very blue county, very Hispanic, very Democrat, that has now got three Republican county commissioners because they're seeing their neighbors who are conservative Republicans saying and doing things that make sense. So they vote for them. They're not going to vote for somebody up on from a different part of the state they don't know, So let's get local. Let's do what we can with what we have in our communities. And I think that's when we start seeing a difference in the outcomes in our elections.
Didn't President Trump put forward a bill like that for the schools to teach the great things about our nation? And then I believe he did an executive order toward the end of his administration, and then President Biden just reversed that.
Yes, President Biden reversed it because it doesn't fit with the political agenda that his party is driving, and that is that the nation is somehow racist, that it is evil. So that's the big question right now. Do you support that concept being taught in our schools? Do you favor the concept of returning to segregation, splitting the races up? We've worked very hard to get a country where we pretty well do have legal equivalence. We've got the same opportunities no matter what race you're in. Again, you mentioned just a moment ago, all of the people flooding into this country, they're the evidence that that's the truth, that they have opportunity when they come here to feed a family. They have opportunity when they come here to start a business. And so the people coming here in the hundreds of thousands are votes saying that we believe this country is fair and equitable. You know, as we're closing out this segment, it's important to talk about what was occurring in Plano this last week. We had BLM in there saying they were going to protest and stop the traffic. There was a poignant YouTube video or a news channel video, something that you can just Google the BLM in Plano and you'll find it. But this guy is standing out saying, get out of the way, stop impeding the traffic. We got places to go. It was two of the main arteries through that Plano area. And so as BLM gets further out in the country, away from Seattle, away from Portland, I think they're going to find a reception that is not as positive. In fact, Texas just passed a law saying that you cannot do that. You can't stop traffic. You can protest. You can peacefully protest, but you can't go out and interrupt other people's lives. I think that we're on a pathway for great division if we don't start passing laws that will limit the ability of the left to really break apart our society.
Steve Pearce and I will be back in a moment. We will be discussing COVID-19 lockdown protests on May Day around the world and more coming up on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pearson. Steve, some people protesting on May Day. Tell us about it.
Well, across Europe and Belgium, which is not given to conservative protest, or Montreal, again, neither one of those are very conservative countries. But the COVID restrictions now are being just likened to 1984, the book 1984, George Orwell. So it's the young people who are organizing the protest. Typically on May Day, nobody works or very few people work. It's set aside for people to just enjoy and participate with their freedoms. Well, now the young people are saying, wait, we've never gotten to experience the freedoms that other young people do. We want to live like the young people live. We want to get out and we want to have parties and go to the river and have picnics and we want to socialize. And so it's something like a mile-long throng of people just jammed a whole boulevard for a mile in Montreal, the same thing in Belgium. And seeing those young people aligning with the conservative idea that liberty is the most key one of all of our freedoms, the freedom of religion and our liberty to practice that religion, our liberty to live free, make our own choices. Those are things that the human race has experienced in the last 50 years. And so when these Marxists are trying to take over, they're fighting against human nature now, and that human nature is beginning to explode across the globe. We're also seeing other splits in the Democrat community. Henry Cuellar is a friend of mine from Congress, a Democrat from the South Valley of Texas. He's down around the South Texas area. and right on the border, and he travels frequently to the border. I've traveled into South America, Central American countries with him 5 or 6 years ago. We were looking at the border crisis then. So he makes the comment last week that the Biden administration's photos are simply not true, that they're moving people from one camp to another. They move them out of one, show how it's empty today. Then they move them back in, and they go over to the other camp and show a picture where it's empty. And he says that they're just telling people a lie. And so I always appreciate truth when people are speaking against the leaders in their party who are trying to propagate falsehoods. So Henry Cuellar deserves our congratulations. And so a very important voice. And we've got a clip here we'd like to play of Henry talking about that.
You know, when they're saying that they got everything under control with the unaccompanied kids, if you go to Donna, you have a tent that's run by Border Patrol. Then they set up maybe 5 tents that are run by HHS. So all they're doing is they're moving kids from one tent to the other tent and say, oh, they're not in the Border Patrol, but they're right next door.
Derek, another really powerful article came out. The 60-plus organization is a guy named Saul Anuzis, and he writes sometimes very poignant commentary. And just this last Sunday, he came out with an important observation. And it's key to understand because as the Democrats are spending trillions, and every time they spend another trillion, it's like, ho-hum, we've got another $3 or $4 trillion in debt. He likens this to the use of credit cards. He said the Democrats visualize their spending as if they have a credit card and they're just running up the balance a little bit. The truth is that this is debt that is passed on to the next generation and the one after that. Eventually, it's a debt that's so large that it can never be paid, and then we have to pay through inflation. Inflation is what takes away the value of our money. So if you owe $1 trillion today, next year you only owe $500 billion because you've let the money inflate. It's become worth less. And so it's the way that you are able to cure the debt problem simply by creating inflation. All the wages and things go up, but all the costs go up. And so you get this wage price spiral that the economists talk about. And I think that's where we're headed. And so take a look at 60-plus organization online and read that commentary by Saul Anuzis. I think you'll find it very helpful to understand the different viewpoints between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans know they're running up the debt. They try to do it more judiciously. They try to figure out a different way. They try to balance off the spending with revenue sources. The Democrats are not doing that at all. It's just piling on more debt.
I think we see that right now in Northern California, Silicon Valley, San Francisco area, where you have people in the service industry that can't afford to buy a house because the tech jobs pay so much that the property values have gone up. People are having to live in their cars.
Yeah, a small 1 or 2 bedroom home that might here go for $60,000 or $70,000 would easily sell for over $1 million there in those high tech areas. And so you price the ability of the service sector of the economy not to be able to live. And that's, again, the problem with inflation that I think we're all going to run into. Another view of the inflation is I talked to a young lady who was in Argentina during the period when they were having 2,000% inflation. And I said, well, exactly what does 2,000% inflation look like when you're living through it? She said, well, to put it bluntly, she said, my family used to live in a mansion. And she said, in 1 year, we had to move into a duplex apartment. And we lost that big estate that her family had owned. And that's what it looks like. Another person offered that with 2,000% inflation, that you can start with $10 million in the bank this year. By next year, it's going to be worth only about $100,000, and then the third year is worth nothing. And so how many of us have $10 million in the bank to where it'd be worth nothing? Yeah. And so inflation is very destructive to the working people. If the super wealthy, the people with hundreds of billions of dollars, if you've got George Soros, if you've got Bill Gates, you've got Zuckerberg, they've got tens of billions of dollars, then inflation will then maybe cuts them down to where they only have $20 billion. Well, they still are going to be okay. The super wealthy are always okay no matter what. It's the working class and the poor who suffer the most.
There is a theory about that, that some say that if you could spend the country to death, then you come back and say, see, free market capitalism doesn't work. We must turn to socialism. I don't know if that's what's going on, but there is theory behind that to say you spend so much money that you could never recover. And then you say, well, we have to change the government because what we've been doing doesn't work.
Yeah, well, if people are following that line of reasoning, they should be looking at the socialist countries. Take a look at Cuba. Take a look at Russia. Take a look at Venezuela. Take a look at those countries. And then you realize that that argument that socialism is going to be the cure is absolutely false.
They have an answer for that, Steve. They always tell me when I bring that up, well, those countries just don't do it right.
Yeah, they don't do it right.
I haven't seen a country in history yet that has.
they have an excuse for everything. As we close out the program, I want to go quickly into a letter that Senator David Gallegos from Lee County wrote. Michelle Lujan Grisham's administration now is saying they're going to remove exemptions from stripper wells. Stripper wells are those that have lived their useful life, but you can still strip a barrel or two out of that a day. That's 1 million barrels a day when you add all the stripper wells together. And so it's a very important piece of our economy, and it's an important piece of the energy supply for the country. The Saudi Arabians have been trying to break the back of the stripper well industry for years. Now that it looks like Michelle Lujan Grisham is going to join on with their team trying to destroy the stripper well industry. So congratulations to David Gallegos for putting that letter out and drawing attention to what this administration is doing to kill jobs, to kill prosperity in New Mexico.
Thank you, Steve. I've been talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. If you'd like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at www.gopnm.org. Party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you'd like to talk to somebody and get more information, call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.